The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. In Mark chapter 10, in that verse 45, "For the Son of Man, or even the Son of Man, came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which shows us Jesus so clearly and what he came to do. And we pray your blessing upon us as we take that in today and as we live that out in our lives every day. In Jesus' name, amen. So, how would you complete that sentence? The Son of Man came. The Son of Man came. That's what we want you to learn over the next 3 weeks. Three ways of completing it. The Son of Man came. There are only three passages in the New Testament that finish off that passage, or three different sayings that fit with it. They're all written on the front of your bulletin, and they probably will continue to be. Jesus himself tells us why he came. When people try to tell you all sorts of reasons why Jesus came or what they think about Jesus, we need to measure them against what Jesus himself said about himself and why he came. You'd think Jesus should know why he came. Jesus calls himself Son of Man, the Son of Man. In the Old Testament, God calls Ezekiel the Son of Man, or he doesn't call him the Son of Man, he calls him Son of Man. Ezekiel was a man whom God called to as a prophet to speak God's word to the people. Son of Man, Ezekiel, tell them what I tell you. In the Old Testament, Daniel sees someone, he says, like a Son of Man. And this is what he says about him. He was led into the presence of God. He was given authority and glory and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and languages worshipped him. His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. This is Son of Man. And this is the term that Jesus uses for himself. He is a real man, but he's also true God. A God who comes to speak the word of God to us and to establish the kingdom of God in our midst. Jesus is a true man, but he's also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So Jesus is as high as you can get. He is God himself. Now, when this Son of Man came to earth, which is pretty amazing in itself that he would come to earth, how would you expect him to be treated? Wouldn't you expect everyone to serve him? To fall down before him? Pay homage to him? To honour him? To lift him up on their shoulders like footballers lift blokes up on their shoulders? To honour them? Wouldn't you expect him to be seated on some royal throne as royalty usually are? Or to be on the front page of the paper and to be hailed as King Jesus? Don't you expect him to turn up surrounded by a bunch of dancing girls? Or maybe that's only Olympic runners who do that. Or to be on the front, to front up to the press with a clenched fist shouting, "I am the greatest." But we don't see any of that with Jesus, even though he is truly the greatest in every possible way. The disciples expected that. They thought in very worldly terms. They thought of sitting next to Jesus in glory. They thought of being honoured, of being first, of being served. That's what they thought it would be like to be connected with Jesus. Did I tell you I went to Emmanuel College, by the way? No, I didn't. That's how the world thinks, you see. That's how the world thinks. And that's how so many of us think. It's all about me. It's all about who I know, where I went to school. It's all about getting the most and the best and the biggest for me. It's all for me. It's about me. And what does Jesus say about all this? The Son of Man came to serve and to give. The Lord of Lords came to serve. Jesus came to wash dirty feet. Jesus came to mix with outcasts. Jesus came to heal lepers. Jesus came to forgive tax cheats. Jesus came to forgive census hackers, even though it's not even sure there were any. Nevertheless, Jesus came to forgive Olympic drug cheats, of which there are many. Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to do what nobody else wanted to do, to serve. Jesus came to give what nobody else could give, to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus turned the values of the world upside down, the values of his disciples, and often our own values. Verse 5 is an amazing verse. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served. Even the Son of Man, who's the greatest, who is the greatest in every way, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give. Now you think that if anyone came to be served, it would be Jesus. But no, Jesus came to serve. Jesus did not call us to be his disciples so we would serve him. He didn't call his first 12 to be disciples so they would run around serving him. He called us to follow him so he could serve us. Christianity is about Jesus, the God who serves his people. We could learn that and tell people that, couldn't we? Christianity is about Jesus, the God who came to serve his people. Jesus served us by dying for us. We were sinners, but Jesus died for us. We were his subjects, the one who should have been kneeling before him, but he subjected himself to death for us. There's no greater service than this, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That Jesus paid the ransom to set us free on the cross. There is no greater service than that. But Jesus continues to serve us in worship. Now, what do we sometimes call worship? Divine service. Divine service. Do we still call it that? Not very often, probably. Not very often. That's a pity. Divine service. That means God is serving us in worship. We sometimes think we serve God in worship, and well, to some degree that could be true. But what can we do for God? What does God need from us? God is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, God gives us life and breath and all we need. That's Acts 17. In worship, God speaks to us his words of love and forgiveness and direction. That's what we need, isn't it? In worship, God feeds us with the body and blood of Jesus and forgives us all our sins. That's what we need. In worship, God welcomes us into his family through baptism. And in this disjointed world that we read, see on the news every night with families in such a mess, that's what people need, to be welcomed into the loving family of God. In worship, God builds a loving community who are filled with the Spirit and then go out to serve other people in this needy world. And Jesus continues to serve us in an unseen way, through interceding for us. In Hebrews 7:25, it says, Jesus always lives to intercede for us. What a service. When I'm not praying, Jesus is. When I can't pray, Jesus does. And a lot of people get to a point in life because they're so sick or something that they just can't pray. But Jesus keeps praying for them. When my prayers are weak, and that's most of the time, Jesus prays to the Father, prays powerful prayers to the Father on my behalf, on your behalf, on behalf of the church, on behalf of the world. The Son of Man came to serve on the cross, in worship, in intercession for us. Does that mean we don't need to serve him? If he does everything for us, is there anything we need to do for him? Yes and no. No, if we serve him thinking that that's going to save us. You know, people say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I've done a lot of help for people. I should be okay. No, no. If we serve God to impress him or to impress others, then it'd be better not to serve at all. And no, if we're like the Pharisee who stood in the temple telling God how great he was, how much great service he had done, and looking down on the tax collector who hadn't served God at all, if that's the way we want to serve, then it's better to quit serving. Brothers, tell them not to serve God. But yes, 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 we are to serve God if we do it for the right reasons. And I want to give you three little reasons. We serve God as his friends. I no longer call you servants, Jesus said. I've called you friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. John 15. We don't serve Jesus as though he's a cranky boss that we have to keep happy by what we do. We serve Jesus as our friends. He's our friend and we're his friends. We don't serve Jesus because we have to or because we need to, but because we want to. We are his friends, and there is great joy in serving our friends. Isn't that true? We serve God as his children. Let me tell you a little story. There was a father who had two sons. They both hated serving their father. One ran away. He had a good time for a while, and then he lived a miserable life. The other stayed home and served and had a miserable life. Finally, the runaway son came home and said he was sorry, and he asked to be taken back as a servant, and the father would have none of it. This son, he said, didn't he? This son of mine was dead but is alive again. You're not a servant, he said to him, and he says to us, you're not a servant, you're my son. You're my son. When the alarm went off the next morning in that home, guess who jumped out of bed first? And guess who said, well, what are we doing today, Dad? Do we have to feed the pigs today? Everything had changed. He'd suddenly realized what it meant to be a son, eager to serve. And thirdly, we serve as his friends, we serve as his children, we serve as his bride. We are the bride of Christ. Christ loved the church, his bride, and he gave his life for her. Jesus loves to serve his bride. He's the bridegroom, and he loves to serve his bride, the church. And because he loves to serve us, guess what? We love to serve him. It's a loving relationship, not just a friendly relationship. It's a relationship of total love. We love because he first loved us. We love to serve him because he first loved to serve us and never stops loving to serve us. So God is so good to us. He sent Jesus to love us and to serve us and to give his life for us. What more could he do? God is our loving Father. Jesus is our dearest friend. Jesus is our loving husband, and we are his dearly beloved wife. The Holy Spirit fills us with the love of God and with the joy of being his children. and with the peace of having this loving relationship with our God. God give you love and joy and peace as you serve the Lord who came to serve you and give his life for you. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.